Hey everyone, welcome to the New Insight Podcast, where we interview the most important movers and shakers in ophthalmology and give you new insights on the innovations ahead. I'm your host, Viral Shuth. My guest today is Riad Sharif. Riad is CEO of Oculus. If you've been listening to industry news recently, you know Riad and Oculus are making waves in our space with the recent groundbreaking data in their trial of OCS-05 for acute optic neuritis. In our conversation, we touch on a number of topics. We talk about Riad's journey from physician to industry trailblazer to CEO of Oculus, where he and his team are not only developing the aforementioned OCS-05, but also a topical treatment for diabetic macular edema, as well as a TNF inhibitor for dry eye and its innovative approach using a biomarker to identify responders. I'm thrilled to be able to give our listeners some new insights from a leader in the field that I have no doubt we'll be hearing more from in the near future. So without further delay, please enjoy my conversation with Riad Sharif. So Riad, thank you for joining us. I'm excited to have you on the show. I've gotten to know you over time and your history and the work you are doing in the field. And I think this is a great opportunity for you to tell your story to our audience, because I think it's a fascinating story and really to shine some light on the work you guys are doing at this moment. And so, Riad, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
So let's just jump right in. Riad, you've been in the industry for a long time. You've worked at Sanofi. You've worked at Novartis. And now most recently at Oculus. So tell us a little bit about maybe your journey through healthcare, you know, where you started and how you ended up here at Oculus today.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Barbara. So yes, I'm a physician by training. Started surgery, abdominal surgery, and then I moved to business and I started with Sanofi when Sanofi was a small company at that time, now 30 years ago. So it has been a while into the industry. I worked in multiple areas, from antibiotics to vaccines to heart diseases to CNS, ophtha. And then after Sanofi, I moved to Novartis, where I worked in the headquarters in Basel, but also in South America, in North America. And then when I came back to Europe, I came back to Alcon, actually. And Alcon at that time, if you recall, a few years ago, was a company with multiple businesses, from pharma to medtech to consumer. It was a great learning experience for me. And then when Alcon was divided into, I left Alcon, went back to Novartis. But at that time, I really wanted to understand how we do investment in startups. I was intrigued, like how we do due diligence, how we know where to invest, how to invest, and so on. It was intriguing to me. And I joined Novartis Venture Fund. And I spent there slightly more than a year. I learned a lot in terms of investment and VC world, but rapidly I really wanted to come back to operations. And before Oculus, I set up another startup, which in South America, actually, in vaccines, which is called Synergium, which is today the number one vaccine biotech in South America. So it worked out very well. So Oculus was the second. And then about Oculus, so I was in Novartis Venture Fund, and the two co-founders, Einar Stefansson, who is a retina expert like you, and Thorsten Lofsson, who is a chemist and a pharmacist, they came to us for an investment. And I really liked what I saw. I worked in ophthalm before with Novartis, with Lucentis and Alcon. And while on one hand, I knew that what we have in hand, like anti-VEGF, are very good product, actually. Lucentis and Eylea and faricimab, these are very good products. In the same time, I knew the limitations to keep the compliance with the injections, because patients are not coming every month or every 2 months for injections and so on. And these two co-founders presented to us a potential solution to be able to deliver drug into the back of the eye and to treat DME. And I just felt this might be a good start. So Novartis invested, the Novartis Venture Fund invested, and I joined them in December 2017.
So let me ask you, this comes up. We've had a few kind of physician CEOs on the show, and you're at the phase where you're developing this product, you're developing this topical, and we'll get into the product itself. Do you find it challenging with your history, and you've had a lot of experience now, but do you find it challenging separating yourself from the physician side to the CEO leader side? We know there's medical decisions to be made in these programs, but there's also financial and operational decisions to be made. Do you find that challenging, and how do you reconcile those things?
So first, personally, I feel that the medical training as a training is an excellent training, because it really allows you to take decisions and adapt to the context where you are. I remember I worked more than a year in emergency room. And as you know, in emergency room, you need to take decisions, like in business, and you need to take decisions without knowing everything. And it's okay. And then you adapt while you know slightly more, like when you receive the biology. In the beginning, you don't have it. So you need to take the decision. So therefore, this process of decision making and adapting your decision, working with different multidisciplinary teams, and adapting all the time, I felt and I feel is very relevant to the business environment, where many times you need to take decisions, you don't know everything, and you allow yourself to adapt to the situation if the situation evolves. So I feel as a training and as a businessman, it is really a blend, and I never really felt like a disalignment between both. And why? Because at least myself and in the company, really, I mean, it's really important for us. Patient is first, and it's really patient is first, and is always patient first. Why? Because even if it's financially on the short term, it might be expensive, it might be not the right thing to do. On the long term, it's always better. It's always better because what you are doing is sustainable. So therefore, in my mind, really my goal is, and what I call sustainable growth, which is sustainable growth comes only when you do the right thing. And in our business is exactly like what you do, is always patient first. If you do patient first, you always win, regardless, because it means that you are having a product which is addressing an unmet medical need. You are having a product which is innovative and differentiated, and you are not just doing something similar to what exists. So this drive of understanding exactly the unmet medical need, putting the patient at the center, and addressing the unmet medical need to the patient, which is in the center, with something which is differentiated and innovative, is always winning, actually. It's difficult to execute, but the strategy is simple. It just you follow this, and I mean, at least in my experience, it's really always worked out, always.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, you're bringing up a really good point, which is, leadership. You're making tough decisions, and you said something interesting. Not always with every piece of information or data in front of you, right? And I think oftentimes you're right. That's a very, practical issue we run into day to day. We have to make these decisions in real time, and unfortunately, not with all the data in front of us. And I've seen, that's kind of the difference between successful leaders and leaders that may not be as successful because of this analysis paralysis that happens. The need for every bit of data before you take the leap. And so I thought that was an interesting point you made. And so I think it's fascinating. The other thing you said is, which is really, I find a common theme amongst successful leaders is that patient focus, patient first kind of mentality. Because I think you're right. And that's how a lot of us have to practice day to day, right? Because again, you have a myriad of choices and options. And if you really kind of focus it in on patient first, it's very hard to make the wrong decision when you're doing that, right? And that's what leads your process. So I think that's great. And I'm glad we're getting a chance for the listeners to kind of key in on that. So let's talk a little bit about Oculus and the portfolio that you are working on. So tell us about what you're working on, and let's certainly touch on some of the recent acuity data results that came out, as well as what I'm most interested in, which is what we're working on for the retina.
Yeah, of course. So Oculis today is a biopharma company with a portfolio of three clinical stage assets, OCS-01, OCS-02, and OCS-05. So OCS-01 is the product which is the most advanced, is in its phase three, two ongoing phase threes, Diamond 1 and Diamond 2. This product is a topical product, so it's an eye drop, and it treats DME. The product went into four clinical trials. The four clinical trials were positive, where the product showed benefit in terms of improving the function for the patient. And actually, what we see is at the same time point is similar to what we get with the standard of care today, which is VEGF treatment. So therefore, it's extremely encouraging, and really looking forward to the result, which will come the next year. First half of the next year. So we'll have a result of two big clinical trials. If positive, of course, this product will be submitted, NDA will be submitted, and product will be available for patient and for prescriber like you. So this product is based on a technology which is called OptiReach. This technology allows, for the first time ever, really, the product to be able to penetrate into the retina while it is given as an eye drop. And in the same time, and it's really important, it is efficacious, but also is safe for the cornea, which is really important for an eye drop, as you know. So therefore, this is for us the most advanced product, I would say with a profile which is differentiated, addressing truly an unmet medical need in terms of being able to treat early this patient, and also being able to give you a solution to adapt the treatment to patients who are potentially not responding to anti-VEGF or potentially not coming every month. So it is really a versatile solution which will be available to you to be able to customize the treatment to the patient need. This is on the first asset. The second asset is a TNF inhibitor, is an anti-inflammatory product, as you know, and with the which is called OCS-02. The TNF inhibitor, our aim is to address inflammation in the eye. And the first program we have in dry eye, but the way we are addressing dry eye is very different, because what we learned from dry eye is their product, but actually the patient do not respond in a systematic manner. So therefore, we developed a biomarker which help us to know who will respond to the treatment. This biomarker is very easy to implement. It's like a COVID test, is a qPCR. We know in a matter of 20, 30 minutes who will respond, and then we give it to really the patient. So it's really with, so we are thinking about something which is very innovative in terms of in ophthalmology, which might be the first precision medicine approach in dry eye, where we don't give a drug without knowing if it will work, but we give a drug to the right patient at the right time, knowing that it will work in the patient. So therefore, this is on O2. And O5, as you say, this is the last product, is in neuroprotection. So this product has a so we started in the company to look for a neuroprotection asset for the last 5 years, actually. It's really started very early. We were screening, and we did the full portfolio review in terms of what do we need in ophthalmology? What are the unmet medical need? Angiogenesis, anti-VEGF are great. Inflammation, we have steroid, which are good. We have TNF. So where are the unmet medical need? And what we realized rapidly is there is a need for neuroprotective product which can protect photoreceptors and retinal ganglion cells. And therefore, we truly screened 96 molecules. And this product convinced us, because it was the only product which in vivo data showed benefit in imaging, in anatomy of, so OCT, you see that we really protect the thickness of the retinal ganglion cells. And it showed functional improvement, of course, in animal, not in vision, but in mobility in a multiple sclerosis model. Therefore, we licensed this product 4 years ago in 2021. And then we ran a study. We did IND enabling in the US. So we got the IND in the US for OCS for OCS-05. But we did this study, which is called ACUITY, in an indication which is acute optic neuritis. And as you may know, in acute optic neuritis, we do not have anything which is approved. We use, of course, steroids, which are anti-inflammatory. They are good, but we do not have anything which protects retinal ganglion cell from dying, basically. And they really die. And this is why, for this patient who are young, like we are speaking about a young population, average age of patient in our study was 33 years. So the typical patient is a young mother, actually, with kids, losing vision rapidly. And even if they might recover high contrast, they lose low contrast and colors and so on. And you end up with a patient who is in the 30s, not being able to drive, not being able to read the newspaper without the light, and so on. So therefore, this is real medical need. And we tested this product, so therefore OCS-05. So we had two arms, one arm with OCS-05 plus the current standard of care, which is steroid, and one arm with steroid alone. And the three efficacy endpoint, of course, the primary endpoint was the safety, and the safety was good, actually. But the efficacy endpoint were retinal ganglion cell, so the GCIPL layer, which gives us the status about retinal ganglion cells. The second was RNFL, which gives us the status of axons of the retinal ganglion cells and the optic nerve. And the third was functional low contrast visual acuity. And the result came extremely strong and clear cut. Product was able to protect GCIPL, so protect retinal ganglion cells from dying, protect RNFL, and bring back all patients to normal LCVA.
That's amazing.
So the difference was 18 letters at the endpoint of 3 months, 18 letters different mean. And furthermore, as you know, this patient, so more than two-thirds of the patient were MS patients, so multiple sclerosis MS, as you know, acute optic neuritis could be like a relapse of MS. And we had 3 times less MS relapses in our group versus in steroid alone. So really the product is showing a very strong effect in neuroprotection. So our aim now is to move full steam on acute optic neuritis. But the good news is this product could have multiple clinical applications. Like we are really, I mean, you know, if you come up with a neuroprotective drug, which really for ophthalmology protect photoreceptors and the retinal ganglion cells, we are speaking about something which can be as big as anti-VEGF in terms of innovation. And in terms of really changing the landscape and how we can prevent blindness, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're on those three products, you touched on really three big unmet needs, right? And we can argue the DME is something we have a lot of great options for, but your route is different than what we're typically using, right? Which is the intravitreal injections. And so to have a topical, someone that's involved in these clinical trials, I can tell you the excitement that a patient has when you tell them your options are an eye drop or an injection. Many of them will obviously gravitate to what's less invasive. And so it'll be great to have something finally that is a different route. And like you said, I think you kind of alluded to where it fits in our armamentarium for treating these patients. And I think you said, specifically, this could be for patients that IVT doesn't work well, or it could be a standalone treatment, right? And I think that's ideal to be able to have that flexibility for patients, and certainly, maybe more difficult patients where you're using a combination of treatments, right? Let me ask you this because I know this will be asked by listeners. How do you administer the treatment in ACUITY and the time frame that's ideal to administer a treatment like that?
Yeah. So, as you know, acute optic neuritis is an acute episode. Therefore, it is important to receive the treatment in the first 10 days. In fact, in the clinical trial, it was 12 days. The mean between, in terms of first treatment after the first symptom, was 9 days in average, 9.5 days. So, it's really important to receive the treatment early because cell death really happens in the first days. So therefore, it is important to protect the retinal ganglion cells in the beginning. The treatment is delivered IV, like the standard of care. So it's really in parallel with the steroid, which is delivered IV, or OCS-05 is delivered IV as well.
Good, good. Let's zoom out a little bit. Let's go back to just the company itself. Now, I know you're listed publicly in the US and Iceland, and I know this may come up when people start looking into Oculus as a company. Well, tell us a little bit about that and why that is.
Yeah, so basically, so first we listed in the US in March 23. And in same time, as I told you, the two co-founders are from Iceland. So Einar is from Iceland and Thorsten is from Iceland. And we kept the Discovery Formulation Lab in Iceland. So we have, I would say, a very special relationship with Iceland and with all the stakeholders. And in fact, the pension fund in Iceland asked us if we could list in Iceland because it gives them more access to enter into the capital of the company. So we did listing in Iceland, and since I have to say we have a great support from Icelandic like government and all the stakeholders.
Good. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your team at Oculus. Now, I know you've kind of built this team out, and you've got a great relationship. So tell us a little bit about that and your kind of just philosophy in general from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah, so the company is based in mainly two locations, and we kept the formulation lab in Iceland. Now the team is divided between Europe in Switzerland and US. So we have a team. So we have mainly clinical development and regulatory and finances in the US. So we have our head of R&D, Snehal Shah, is in the US. We have our CDO, Sharon Clear, she's in the US. We have our CFO, Sylvia Cheung, she's in Boston in our office. We have also a team in Switzerland with Rebecca Weil, who is the Chief Commercial Officer. We have head of quality, have head of CMC. Our CBO is in Iceland. So team is really an international, diverse team, and really hired based on competence. I'm strong believer in having the best in the team. Is really like, we don't control biology. We really don't control it at all, actually, which is perhaps good. In same time, what we control our strategy and we control our execution. And therefore, the only way for you to increase probability of success is to have the best team, to have the best team in terms of technical and competencies, and but also to have the best dynamic within the team, where really we care about each other. Like our success is a team success. We know that if we work well together, we help each other, and each one have the back of his or her colleague, then we are successful. And this is really our goal, is really to work as a team and to win as a team. And if we lose, we will lose as a team. But if we work well, we will win as a team.
Yeah, and I asked that question because I've had the opportunity to meet so much of your team, and I know not only do they come with pedigree and track record in the industry, but they are really just great people. And I think you're exactly right. And I think I wanted you to verbalize that because I think again this podcast is meant for people that are interested in the industry. And again, I want to highlight kind of why teams can be successful, what's under the hood that makes them successful. And I think you hit it right on the head, which is, it is not just about the biology, not just about the IP and discovery, but it's also about the people around it, the plan, the execution, the operations, all of that. And I think what you are putting together is quite fascinating. So I think that's great for the listener to see a little bit of that as well.
Thank you.
So Riyadh, I mean, I think we're going to wrap things up here. I'm looking forward personally to kind of continuing along in the Diamond trial. What's your outlook for the rest of the year? What are you most looking forward to, and what's kind of your goal or highlight for the year?
Yeah. So this year is really important for us. Is I would say an execution year. Execution in terms of DME, we need to finalize randomization, which is almost done, and then we move to really maintenance period and making sure that the execution is high quality for DME. The second is to drive precision medicine with the TNF. Really, our aim is to come up with the first precision medicine in inflammation. And the third, of course, is to advance acute optic neuritis, but also explore other applications. And I know, I mean, we are starting now to discuss internally about portfolio, like a portfolio of potential clinical applications, which will be driven by the last asset, OCS-05. And we are speaking about more than 10 clinical applications, really big clinical applications in ophthalmology, in neuro-ophthalmology, and in CNS. So therefore, it is a year, it is an important year for Oculis because it is transformational. OCS-05 is transformational in terms of what this could bring to Oculis, but more importantly, and to be totally frank, to the patient and to the prescriber. I think really my dream and my purpose is really to bring product with DME to patient with DME and allow them to have a better life and enjoy their family and enjoy their work and enjoy their life. I think with the TNF, we can really avoid the frustration of patients who are receiving drugs which are not responding by selecting patients who will respond, and then we focus on this patient. And ACUITY, as I told you, is really transformative, and really the dream we have is to help this mainly young mother with acute optic neuritis and with other diseases to really bring back vision for them. And if we achieve this, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so very big goals for the year. But I think with what we've seen thus far from the data standpoint and with what you've built so far, certainly achievable, and wishing you kind of the best in terms of luck in achieving those goals. So Riad, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And thank you for the good work you're doing. Thank you.